Now, the many farming villages which must have flourished in this area, because the soils were exceptionally fertile, coalesced into clusters of smaller hamlets surrounding larger towns with perhaps as many as 3,000 inhabitants. Why did they do this? Because the climate was getting warmer and drier, and it was necessary for them to collaborate in irrigation. Now, these people are called the Ubaid people, after a settlement, an archaeological site given that name. They grew barley and dates, and they herded cattle, sheep, and goats. In other words, it was a classic mixed farming sort of economy. Their agriculture was not dry agriculture, depending on rainfall. It depended not only on rainfall, but simple irrigation, using canals built by communal effort and careful organization, organized by local leaders. Why? They were diverting the waters of the Tigris and Euphrates onto their farms, and to build any size of waterworks requires crowds of people, not just one household. Agriculture had moved beyond the compass of a single household. Within a few centuries, some Ubaid settlements reached considerable size, with mud houses clustered around small ceremonial centers. What you see happening here is a process of centralization, inexorable, probably in large part resulting from two things. One, the reality that agriculture required the deployment of sizable labor forces, not only to plant and grow the crops and to divert water, but to maintain the waterworks so there was water enough to produce several harvests a year. Secondly, as more and more land was brought under cultivation, there may have been a shortage of land where cities or towns could be built, maybe areas of higher ground, and people tended to live in more compact settlements and to live in the same place for many generations. The result was, of all this, was the development of the world's very first cities. The history of these cities is deeply embedded in ancient Sumerian myth. By 4700 BC, that is about 1100 years before the appearance of Sumerian civilization, the rapidly growing town of Eridu boasted of a mud brick temple. This was a city which was said to be the home of Enlil, the principal Sumerian god. No question that the origins of this deity go back into ancient village religious belief. Within only two centuries, the temple had achieved a much greater elaboration, and as many as 5,000 people were living close by. This temple has been dissected by extremely intricate excavation. The trouble is with this sort of architecture is that it is mud brick. And mud brick, when it's abandoned, rapidly becomes almost indistinguishable from the surrounding soil. And one of the ways you can tell it apart from undisturbed soil is by using compressed air, blow away dust, or by simply probing. And the dissection of the Eridu temple through all its many iterations was an extremely complex piece of excavation carried out before World War II. Between 4600 and 3800 BC, another town nearby, Uruk, grew rapidly in size. A temple mound, called in the archaeological parlance of the area a ziggurat, towered over the growing community. It stood on the foundations of earlier, much more humble shrines. Here, as you find in Maya country, or you find with the Aztecs, people tended to build sacred places one on top of the other, so that you get a wonderful stratigraphy, as it were, a layering of different temples from the earliest humble shrine to the great and elaborate temples of later times.